Hello there, my name is Thomas and welcome to the podcast British Culture Albion Never Dies. Once again, I'm sitting at my kitchen table, drinking some tea and having a look at the local newspapers from Yorkshire. I got a lot of good feedback from many listeners about the previous Slice of Life episode, and this is how it works. If you like it and tell me, I'll keep doing it. If you don't like it and tell me, I'll probably stop doing it unless I really, really want to. Whatever requests go. So that's the shape of this podcast. Again, if there's anything you want me to cover, just let me know. I'll see how I can include it. I do requests. So, once again, I'm going through. I love looking at local newspapers. I think you get a very real perception of day-to-day life. Obviously, it's great to read the national newspapers, international news headlines and all that. But I feel this is the kind of news that, if it happened to you, you'd be cutting it out, framing it, putting it in the toilet or whatever. You know, just framing it somewhere nice. Assuming you have a nice toilet. These are nice little local news stories that you'd be proud to speak of. You know, have you been in the local newspaper? If you have, maybe send me a message on Instagram or email me at albionneverdies@gmail.com. Yeah, let me know, because I think we're all happy if we get into a local newspaper. I am going to start with some of the bigger news stories, the ones that are really leading in the Yorkshire Post. Yorkshire, of course, is a region in the north of England and has a population bigger than Wales and is a place where I've lived for many, many years as a small boy and then later on as an adult. It's a place where I've worked and I know many of these places that come up in the later stories. The Yorkshire Post, of course, covers the whole thing. I'll also look at the Telegraph and Argus, which is for Bradford, and I'll be looking at the Ilkley Gazette. Yeah, it's the Ilkley Gazette that I'll be looking at. But I've got some stories, as I say, they go from the big, major stories, right down to the smaller and smaller, more and more personal stories. And as I say, it's those personal stories that I personally really, really enjoy. But as I say, let's start with the first story, which is live updates on the Yorkshire Post from Storm Eunice. So Yorkshire's bracing itself for widespread gales and flooding. In fact, by the time this podcast goes out, it should already have passed, but at the moment, I'm recording on the previous Friday, there's a rare red weather warning, the highest alert, meaning high impact is very likely, covering the south of England, Wales, and then it goes to amber alert the further north in the UK you go. So I think in the East Riding of Yorkshire, South Yorkshire, North Lincolnshire, North East Lincolnshire, they're all covered by an amber warning. So we are expecting big storms, and the Yorkshire Post covers this with a fantastic photo of huge waves hitting the seawall at Whitby, which, if you've heard of Whitby and are trying to place it, it's the place that Dracula lands in Bram Stoker's novel. I have to say, he describes it really, really well, and going there brings it alive. As soon as you see the old abbey on the cliff, you do can kind of imagine the gothic stories it must have inspired. And it's interesting because it's a sweet little place, but there's also lots and lots of vampire enthusiasts who go, so there's also a bit of a goth underculture there, so you have this interesting mix of very, very sweet, very, very twee kind of bits of Yorkshire mixed in with kind of goth vampire culture mixed in. So I say it's a spectacular looking place, and at the moment we're seeing those huge waves crash in. You see on the front page of the Yorkshire Post, news you can trust since 1754. We also have a news story from the Ilkley Gazette about the storm, because it's been disrupting plane landings at Leeds Bradford Airport, and there's a spectacular, it says, terrifying picture. I'd say spectacular is the word I'd use. It's a plane attempting to land at the airport, and it shows the exact moment when a Ryanair flight from Krakow in Poland is about to touch down on the infamously exposed runway. It looks like it's going to fly off or it's going to miss. It's got a diagonal slant, the left wing's tilted slightly into the air, but apparently it's the angle of the shot makes it look like this. But it did land safely. It's already okay, albeit it was a little bit later than scheduled. It was scheduled to land at 2:55 p.m. It landed at 3:11, so just a short 16-minute delay. Many other flights have been cancelled, so I think very lucky. All went well. Happy to see that. And I say, spectacular photos in the Ilkley Gazette of the plane trying to land at Leeds Bradford Airport. Normally I'm covering the light, fun stories. There are, of course, some very unhappy stories covered in local news stories. Four men have been jailed for grooming and raping a vulnerable girl, aged 15 at the time of the offences. But they have been caught, they've been prosecuted. Men aged between 30 and 42 collectively appeared in a total of 14 counts of rape committed on a girl between 2009 2010. So she cannot be named for legal reasons. They say were based in Yorkshire, in Keighley. Hassan Basharat, 32, of Keighley, jailed for 12 years. Baba Hussein, jailed for 13 years. Omar Safdar, jailed for 12 years. And Imran Sabir, jailed for 12 years. And the sentencing of a fifth man, awaiting sentencing. He has been convicted. The newspaper really highlights the victim impact statement read out in court by the prosecutor, Catherine Robinson. The victim, of course, has a right to say what effect this terrible crime had on her. She explains about her mental health struggles as an adult, her post-traumatic stress disorder that she's been diagnosed with, and that feeling that nice things have been taken away from me, she said. And the judge condemning the men, saying they preyed on her vulnerability. The victim of grooming and groomed by a significant number of men. She's a young woman who has suffered at the hands of a great many men. They took advantage of the girl's vulnerability. Her victim impact statement makes for deeply unpleasant reading. So again, very, very serious case. Fortunately, one you do see in the papers from time to time. But I don't want to not include this. This is the lead on the Telegraph and Argus newspaper. But these, as I say, these four men are now in prison and will be for at least a dozen years each, and one more awaiting sentencing, so he's in jail. Moving from the low-life crimes to Prime Minister. Boris Johnson has been defending his record lately over what was popularly dubbed Partygate. Did he have parties in his garden when the rest of us were under lockdown in the UK? Did he break his own rules? Well, the story so far, I've been following it intensely. He has apologised to Parliament. He's apologised personally to the Queen. He's told us all to move on, it seems. But nonetheless, he has been condemned now by former Prime Minister John Major. John Major was rebuked, and now Betty Boothroyd, former Speaker of the House of Commons, has come forward in defence of integrity and in supporting John Major in his condemnation of the Prime Minister. This has been reported in the Yorkshire Post because Betty Boothroyd, the Speaker from, I think, 1992 to the year 2000, she was described, let me find the exact quote, I think, Yorkshire's greatest parliamentarian. There we go. Nearly 30 years after Yorkshire's greatest parliamentarian became the first female Speaker of the House of Commons, the nonagenarian's public interventions are now rare. However, she's still so esteemed that her views, when she does speak her mind in her own indomitable way, command even more respect because they have been so carefully considered. She still cares passionately about the UK's democracy and Parliament. So, again, that's a very, very major story in the Yorkshire Post. And again, the Partygate saga continues. I've been watching this, especially with Prime Minister's Question Times. I talked about that in my previous podcast episode. P is for Prince of Wales, but I also talked about P is for Prime Minister's Question Times. And gosh, the recent ones have been tense, lively, especially the two main party leaders clash. And I think the leader of the Scottish National Party in London, he has been, giving Boris Johnson what for. It's a very, very lively thing. And the current Speaker of the House of Commons, Lindsay Hoyle, was heard to utter after the end of one of them, "What a day, what a day." And it's popularly imagined he went home having a stiff drink. Interestingly, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, the current Speaker, is from Lancashire, whereas Betty Boothroyd is from Yorkshire. So maybe that provides some kind of balance, as Yorkshire and Lancashire are historic, historic rivals. There have been wars between these two counties. In fact, I would say a lot of the violence in Game of Thrones is actually based on the War of the Roses, which was between Yorkshire and Lancashire. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting bit of balance between the two. So again, going from weather very serious crime to Partygate. Now we start to hit, just scrolling a little bit further down the Yorkshire Post main page, we find a very different type of story. It's about the mayor of West Yorkshire, Tracy Brabin. The headline, Tracy Brabin left horrified after saying fat rascals come from Cheshire in newscast quiz. Oh dear, oh dear. I'm just going to read out this one, and that will explain. Appearing on the BBC podcast programme Newscast on Thursday night, which is broadcast on BBC One, Ms. Bramkin was asked by host Adam Fleming, I don't think a relation to Ian Fleming, if she could identify where fat rascals come from following a cake-related quiz involving journalist Lewis Goddard and Alex Forsyth earlier in the episode. Before Mrs. Brabin came on air, Mr. Goddard and Ms. Forsyth had both correctly identified that fat rascals scones hail from Yorkshire, and specifically Betty's in Harrogate. Scones, 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 scones. Anyway, Mr. Fleming subsequently told the West Yorkshire mayor, because Alex and Lewis are fairly new to Newscast, I gave them a little quiz about cakes, which is one of our house themes on Newscast. One of the questions was, in which English county would you find a fat rascal? I'm sure you know the answer to that. Miss Brabin replied, Cheshire, drawing gasps from the presenters. Mr. Fleming said, it's Yorkshire, it's Betty's Tea Room. A horrified Miss Brabin replied, Betty's Tea Room, of course it is. Mr. Goddard jokingly said, Betty's are going to be writing to you, Tracy. So, this old regional specialty was a wholesome and filling cake which a shepherd would traditionally cook in a covered pan over a peat fire, I'm told. Turf cake was rediscovered by Jonathan Wilde from the Betty's family, who added a few Betty's touches to the much-loved Betty's Fat Rascal in 1983, including the famous gnarl, made out of glacé cherries and almonds. Cool face that they put on all of them. Ah, yeah, so when I lived in Harrogate in the 80s, 90s, yeah, I can remember my brothers going to buy a fat rascal pretty regularly. Is it a cake? Is it a cookie? Is it a small cake? It's a fat rascal. You can find the recipes online, but you cannot find the recipe for Betty's fat rascal online. That is a much kept secret, although I have made them, and I think mine are pretty close. Mine are a gluten-free version for my own tastes and needs, but they are fantastic. Cakes? Cookies? I'm not sure. I think it depends where you are from, what you'd call them. I shall be posting a picture of them on my Instagram, so you can check out on my Instagram, Fleming Never Dies, what do they look like. Okay, getting into smaller and smaller things, there is a Betty's Tea Shop in Harrogate. There's also a Betty's Tea Shop in Ilkley, which is where this next story is from. It's from the Ilkley Gazette, which I'm finding a very, very good source of fun little news stories. The Grove Bookshop, Ilkley. Among the best in Britain. I really like this story. Ilkley's independent bookshop has overcome high street disruption to vie to be crowned independent bookshop of the year. So, it's in the running for it. We don't know the results yet. We'll know the results sometime in March, I believe. And I just really like this little quote at the end. The last 2 years have seen independent bookshops up and down the UK and the island of Ireland completely transform their operational models in order to get books into the hands of readers. This has ranged from bicycle deliveries to local customers to booksellers rapidly building new e-commerce platforms whilst also creating new channels for interactive video content to replace in-person event. Tom Tivnan, the bookseller's managing editor, said, the received wisdom in the book trade when the pandemic first hit was that independent booksellers might be the most vulnerable. They have proved anything but, as through close ties to their communities, indies have flourished for the last 2 years. This year's Independent Bookshop of the Year regional and county finalists reflect a broad diversity across the UK and Ireland, with a thread of innovation running through, no matter if they are one of the UK's most venerable indies or one of its newest. So yeah, we'll be finding out the regional and county winners in the middle of March. So I might try and cycle back to this story later on, because I do like to see how these small little businesses, I think I've been in this bookshop a few times, it's good to see how they're able to flourish in what has been a difficult time. Just a quick story. Ilkley resident appointed first female chair of Skipton Building Society in its 169-year history. I just think that's very nice. The Skipton Building Society was looking throughout the whole country to find a new chair and found one just down the road. Yeah, Yorkshire has many, many, many of the great building societies in the UK. Kind of mutually owned initially, as opposed to centrally owned banks. So it's funny, all these kind of building societies that I grew up with all had kind of Yorkshire sounding names, and when you go to Yorkshire, it's funny, this whole village is named after my bank, named after my building society. Anyway, a nice little story, a nice little local piece of news. Again, I always enjoy it when it's local people raising money for charity. I mean, I've been involved with that a few times, whether it was, you know, I cycled coast to coast to raise money for an education charity many years ago. And of course, I did an interview with the project lead, expedition lead for Rockall 2022. So have a look at that episode. It's a really, really interesting guy, as this is an expedition going out to a rock 200 miles out in the sea, having an endurance stay there. It's a difficult little rock to stay on, but they'll be staying there for charity, for the Royal Navy, Royal Marines charity, and Children South West. Again, in the newspaper, I see another very little one by comparison, which is charity clay pigeon shoot in Silsden raises thousands for Moorlands Hospice. Again, just love these little things. The 9th annual clay pigeon shoot in Silsden has raised thousands to support the expert care provided at a local hospice, organised by a local resident, Nobby Clark, who provides the clays. The popular shoot has taken place on New Year's Day in aid of the Sue Ryder Moorlands Hospice. Okay, so yes, New Year's Day, I realise that's an older story. I was going through, one of the writers was just really, really good, so I like this. Well done, Nobby Clark. Who's the writer I liked? Claire Lomax, writer for the Ilkley Gazette. I don't know, she had a whole bunch of really cool articles, so I was just going through them. And yeah, this is still fairly recent. Lovely. And he has contact details. You can get in touch with the fundraising team at moorlands.fundraising@sueryder.org. Fantastic. It was always wonderful to see how people come together to support these outstanding local charities. A feature that I didn't know this newspaper had, the Ilkley Gazette, has a Pub of the Week feature. Fantastic. P was also for pub in my previous episode. The Pub of the Week this week is the Whittaker's Arms in the heart of Otley. Built over 200 years ago, the Whittaker's Arms is situated at the heart of Otley and is popular with locals and tourists alike. Thought to have been built in 1811, the pub has acquired several names, including the Dram Shop, Kirkgate Vault and Quiet John's, referring to the demeanour of the licensee from 1899 to 1911. Inside, there's a series of underground passages leading to cellars and storage areas, but one mysteriously leads to the parish church. But, quote, no one knows exactly why, end quote. And in 1988, the landlord at the time stumbled across an enormous vault whilst clearing out the back garden. It was thought to have been a cold store due to some rusty meat hooks being found on the site. Today run by Monica and Andy McKnight, who took it on in 2020. Oof, it's a family-run pub, fairly popular with locals, tourist residents and walking groups. Yeah, definitely. Definitely a nice warm place, and yeah, the pictures, I can pop open an article here, yep, loads of pictures of it, and it just looks like a very, I don't know, cosy pub. In fact, looking at the garden, I think I've sat outside there and enjoyed a drink whilst I was on a hike. Of course, it is in Otley, and Otley is famous for the Otley Run. It's a pub crawl, so anyone who went to university in, say, the University of Leeds, or Leeds College of Music, or Leeds Art University, or Leeds Trinity University, Leeds Beckett University, or the University of Bradford, it's a famous pub crawl, and I suspect that this is one of the places on it. I had a quick look at the history of the route, looking online. Apparently it's relatively recent, started in the late 60s with kind of stores then offering kind of fancy dress, and then the fancy dress going more and more what I think Americans would call a costume party. So it's a late night alcohol-fueled costume party, and apparently the costume's getting more and more and more surreal as the decades wore on. So this could be, I don't know the current restrictions, but maybe this is the height of it. Maybe I saw the height of it when I was going through Otley. Very memorable. Okay, so those are my stories from Yorkshire. You can check out the Yorkshire Post at yorkshirepost.co.uk, which is where I got most of the beginning stories. You can check out the Ilkley Gazette. No details when they started, but that's at ilkleygazette.co.uk. And the Telegraph and Argus, which is www.thetelegraphandargus.co.uk. So that's where I'm getting all this information from. Hope you enjoyed it. That's my second slice of Yorkshire life. If you enjoyed it, let me know. If you didn't enjoy it, let me know. As I say, it's all done by requests. That's all, as much as possible, sharing my insights into life in the UK. So, hope you enjoy it. And you can find me on Instagram, Fleming Never Dies. You can email me, contact me in all the ways, and let me know what you like. And thank you very much for listening.